You're listening to The Natural World. For KLCC, I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, May 3rd, 8:30 a.m. West Eugene Wetlands, Willow Creek Nature Preserve. A kestrel hovers in place 40 feet above the prairie floor. A purple-gray washboard expanse of advancing storm clouds fashions a blustery, foreboding ceiling. The feathered drone maintains control by vigorously fluttering its long, pointed wings while spreading its buffy banded tail. The tiny falcon's keen eyes search the meadow for an unwary vole feeding in the morning dew or rushing between hiding places. Above my shoulder on the prairie's edge, a bush tit jets into the flowering branches of a sarvisberry and disappears into an opening in a sack-like pendant of lichen shaped and woven with spider silk. The nest is nearly impossible to distinguish from the numerous unengineered patches of lichen that also hang from the bushy tangle. A house wren explores the hollows in a twisted ash. Its branches are animated with chickadees and newly arrived migrating warblers. Camas is in peak bloom across the waterlogged prairie, a remnant facsimile of what much of the Willamette Valley floor looked like 2 centuries ago. In fact, when camas was in bloom, the first European explorers mistook the distant blue floral displays for large expanses of water. Swirling breezes carry irregular waves of overwhelmingly sweet, flowery perfume. For centuries, Native Americans managed a landscape of wet prairies, marshes, and swamps along the Willamette River and its tributary streams with only fire as a tool. The seasonal burning created vast expanses of oak savanna and upland prairie on the higher stream terraces and rocky knobs. Over the years, the managed landscape evolved a kind of stability. Plants and animals that had adapted to survive and even thrive in the often flooded clay soils and periodic conflagrations became abundant and interdependent. The simple act of disturbing the soil with a metal plow and displacing the complex native plant community with food crops rapidly and profoundly altered the landscape. This isolated 500-acre remnant is a good portion of what remains of the pre-industrial terrain. As I walk along the trail, a rapid movement of silent, fluttering light catches my attention. My footsteps have scared up 2 Fender's blue butterflies. This species was thought to be extinct until it was rediscovered on this forgotten bit of land in 1989. Fender's blues are host-specific on Kincaid's lupin, an endemic plant that, although once abundant, is now also nearly extinct. The butterfly's larvae eat the leaves during the fall and spend the winter among its roots. In spring, the larvae continue to feed on the leaves before pupating and emerging as these tiny silvery blue and black delicately patterned creatures. Due to the coolness of the morning, the blue butterfly's torpor allows me to observe it closely as it slowly opens and closes its wings. I am suddenly struck by the melancholy realization that I am observing one of life's rarest displays. This is KLCC's Natural World. If you have sightings or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.